Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm very honored to be with you today as Pastor Jeff invited either my spouse or myself to be with you. But my spouse is busy on Sundays. She's an active duty Air Force chaplain at Hickam Air Force Base, where we've been for the last 4 months, so we're relatively new to the island. But she leads the liturgical Protestant service there and as the senior Protestant chaplain. So she sends her greetings today. So I told Pastor Jeff, while he and his wife go to the mainland to see daughter Meg, I said I'd be happy to be with you today and honored to do that. Now, when you listen to that gospel lesson today, it probably, if we had heard this lesson a year ago, probably have a different impact on us than today. Because that third slave actually looked pretty smart. I shared a story earlier that my sister manages a credit union in Niagara Falls, New York. And the economy there has been sort of down anyway for the last decade. So I said, how's the economy? She said, it's not really that much. It's actually not a bad place to be. But she did relate a story that one of their customers actually came in and took out all of her savings in cash. Just couldn't even fathom leaving money in a bank. She had such little trust. $116,000 in cash. Didn't realize that $100 bills were the largest that the government prints. And so even her mattress was too small. As tempting as it is to talk about money today and money management, that's really not the point of the lesson, even though we're talking about stewarding money here. It's about risk-taking, though, and it's about trust. Not as a financial strategy, but a matter of faith. We heard again that wonderful, well-known story of the talents given to three slaves as a man went on a journey. I wanted to remind us what a talent was. A measure of weight. A talent of silver was 75 pounds of pure silver. 6,000 drachmas, or denarii, depending on which measure you use. The point is, it was 20 years of wages for the common worker. By my calculation, that would be at least $1 million in today's money. So even our low achiever, one talent guy, was really given a fortune to manage. We know the two of the slaves traded and doubled the investment. The other slave took his one talent, dug a hole, and hid his money for fear that he would lose it if he traded it. This is the reaction of the master when he returned. Those who made money were praised. The slave who hid his money was rebuked for not taking a chance. His fear kept him from taking the risk and making the best choice for his master. So his one talent was taken from him and was given to the one who had 10. The bottom line today, as much as we really is about, we talk about the talents, and one thing I'm just impressed with this congregation is just the evidence of talent just overflowing. And so many of you are using your talents that God has given you as giving back your gift to God. But the talent that I want to talk about today is a talent that we use in terms of the gospel, trust and risk, about relationships. How do we manage the gift of our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and our relationship with God? So the parable raises the question, first question, why did the master decide to whom and how much he would entrust his wealth? So the lesson tells us clearly that they were chosen according to their ability, which adds to the meaning of talent. This man took quite a risk by entrusting so much money to his slaves in the first place. He must have had a great deal of confidence in the five-talent slave. This one was undoubtedly gifted in certain ways that the man identified. Past experience proved that he could entrust him with the most money. And in the end, he was pleased with his performance and invited him to share in his joy. By the second token, this slave must have also trusted his master enough to realize that he was given such responsibility and the freedom to use his skills and insights and the time to plan a strategy to increase his investment. He must have already sensed his master's trust in him along the way, having been praised and commended for his ambition and accomplishments. He must have known in his heart of hearts that even if his investment had failed, he could rely on his master's willingness to forgive him and to give him another chance. Mutual trust led him to take the chance and to receive the reward not only of praise, but of even more responsibility. The second slave, not quite as capable as the first, nonetheless enjoyed the same mutual trust with the master. He was aware of his skill and probably even his limitations. Yet there's no evidence that he was jealous of the first slave. And likewise, he doubled his investment by taking risks. He too entered into the joy of his master. Ah, but then we come to that third slave, the odd one out. I think we can safely assume he didn't quite enjoy the same relationship with the master as the first two. Perhaps he had failed to prove himself along the way in the past. Whatever it was, the master gave him one talent, which we'll agree was still a lot of money. But even this task proved too difficult for him. He took the talent, buried it, didn't take any chance at all. He figured the safe way was the best way to keep your nose clean. As long as he returned what was given to him, he figured he wouldn't get into any trouble. He could not be criticized because he played it safe. But the last conversation they had sort of shows that he drastically miscalculated. The master accuses the slave of being wicked and lazy. The slave accuses the master of cheating and thievery. Broke rule number one of how not to talk to your boss. For his lack of trust and faith in his master's goodness, the servant was cast out, penniless, into the outer darkness, where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. The gospel of the Lord? Taking risks and chances with human beings, other human beings, is often difficult and tricky business. But what about the risks that we take or avoid for God's sake? Think of our own actions, inactions. Do we put our trust in the gospel and our faith in his promise that he loves us unconditionally? That through Christ, our sins are truly forgiven. That no matter what, not even economic downturns can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Knowing and trusting in these promises, then, what kind of risks are we willing to take for God? I discovered this quote from Robert Capon in his book Between Noon and Three that I thought was fitting for today. If we are ever to enter fully into the glorious liberty of the sons of God, we are going to have to spend more time thinking about freedom than we do. The church, by and large, has had a poor record of encouraging freedom. She has spent so much time inculcating in us the fear of making mistakes that she had made us all like ill-taught piano students. We play our songs, but we never really hear them because our main concern is not to make music, but to avoid some flub that will get us into Dutch. The third servant was certainly afraid of some flub that would get him into Dutch. How many Christians go through life acting or not acting out of fear rather than joy? Last Sunday marked the 60th anniversary of Kristallnacht, the night of broken glass, the beginning of the Nazi Holocaust, November 9th, 1938, just 60 short years ago. While many German citizens watched with seeming indifference, but most likely fear for their own lives, as Jews and others in the population were rounded up and systematically killed. There were those like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who for righteousness' sake took a stand against Hitler. Bonhoeffer was a pastor in the Confessing Church, who we remember was executed just days before the Allies liberated Germany at that time. In his Christian freedom, by the grace of God, he was part of a plot to stop Hitler and his tirade of destruction. Bonhoeffer took a risk, acting out of love and of concern for innocent people who were being unjustly persecuted. In his martyrdom, this brilliant, young, gifted pastor of the church multiplied the talent given him by the master that he loved, and he entered the joy of his kingdom. His last words are famously quoted before he was hanged. "For me, this is the end, the beginning of life." Bonhoeffer wrote some very important books. One of them is called Life Together, about his life and community in a country that was being persecuted. And he wrote this about the community of saints. He said, "The community of saints is not an ideal community consisting of perfect and sinless men and women, where there is no need of further repentance. No, it is a community which proves that it is worthy of the gospel of forgiveness by constantly and sincerely proclaiming God's forgiveness. It is a community of men and women who have genuinely encountered the precious grace of God and who walk worthily of the gospel by not casting that grace recklessly away." In a famous phrase, Martin Luther said that Christians are at the same time saints and sinners. By this, he meant that we have been baptized into God's kingdom. We are God's precious children, nourished at the holy table, reminded constantly that we have been sanctified, made holy by God. And yet, as a member also of the human kingdom in which we live, our most noble works are fraught with sin. None of our actions, no matter how sincere and good, can escape the influence of sin. But that shouldn't stop us from seeking to do what is right. That shouldn't stop us and take our talent and bury it in the ground. We are to sin boldly, he said, rather than not act at all. Sin boldly, said Luther, but believe even more boldly in the gospel of Christ and the forgiveness that he brings. In other words, don't be concerned about making a mistake or flubbing a note. Play the music. And while you're playing, listen to it. The music of God's love and joy. Invest the talents God has given you for the sake of the gospel. We know that our faith is tested every day, especially during these times. Each person we meet, each opportunity that we have to serve, each time we are challenged to speak a positive word, each time we are serving those who come for meals that cannot afford them on their own, we are called to use the 5, 2, or even 1 talent that God has given us to risk for the sake of his kingdom. The question today is, how has God gifted you? How will you use your talents and skills and time and abilities for furthering the kingdom? The message today is, take a chance, for heaven's sake. The God who gave you all your wonderful talents is always here to support you and guide you as you risk loving and giving and working in Christ's name, that we may indeed enter into the joy of his kingdom. Amen.